Think about the last time someone called you by your name. Not your title, not your role, your actual name. Maybe it was a parent that was calling you in at dusk. Maybe it was someone you hadn't seen in years. Someone that you didn't even think remembered you. There's something that happens inside of us when we're called by our name. Sometimes we feel more settled. It feels familiar to us. Because being called by name means one thing above everything else. I see you. I know you. And you are not lost in the crowd to me. Many of us, or at least some of us probably, have walked in this very room carrying a quiet fear that even God might overlook all of humanity and somehow miss us. We might be too ordinary, too broken. Maybe we think we're too far gone. Some of you were baptized this morning, and some of you were baptized many, many years ago. Maybe you can't even barely remember the day. This word is for both of you, because what God said over you in that water, He is still saying to you right now. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. Guys, that's in the Old Testament, right beside Jeremiah. For some reason, Isaiah is the book I always have a struggle finding. So I'll give you a moment. But while you're turning there, let me read it. But now, thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Four phrases, four declarations, and every single one of them spoken directly into the deepest fears and needs of our human heart. Let's take it phrase by phrase and take it apart here. And as we do, I want you to hear God saying these words, but not to Israel, to you, to each of you individually. Do not fear. Israel is in exile right now. Their city destroyed. Their temple in ruins. Their king dethroned. Many had begun to wonder whether God had simply moved on, found something better to do. And in the middle of that, God speaks. His first word is not accusation. He doesn't come at them accusing them. It is not, here's what you should have done differently. Haven't we heard those words from people before? His first words are, do not fear. Before the instruction, before the correction, before anything else, God leads with compassion. For those baptized this morning, you may have come to that water carrying fears. Fear of not being worthy enough. Fear of that your story is too complicated for grace. And for those of you who were baptized years ago, you may have come this morning carrying different fears. The fear that you haven't lived up to what that day meant. That too much water has passed under the bridge since that date. That God's declaration to you and over you has somehow expired. God's first words to both you is the same as it was to Israel. Do not fear. God does not wait for our fear to fully subside before He speaks to us. And I want to say amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. He speaks to us to end the fear. The second phrase moves from comfort to declaration. I have redeemed you. I have redeemed you. The word redeemed in Hebrew means to buy back, to reclaim, to restore what was lost. It was what a kinsman redeemer did for a family member who had fallen into debt or into slavery. He paid the price himself. He settled what the family member could not settle. And notice the tense that's used here. Not, I will redeem you. I have redeemed you. Past tense, already done, settled. It's done, guys. Redemption is not a reward for getting your life together. It is something God does for you on your behalf at His cost. And baptism is the place where that redemption is publicly and visibly and boldly announced. Remember what Romans 6, verses 3 and 4 say. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And we go under, and that going under is the burial of everything old, and of our old life. It's gone. The guilt, the shame, the broken patterns. It all goes down. And then we come up. The beautiful part, we come up. Not people who are trying to be better, redeemed people. People whose debt has been paid. People whose record has been cleared. Your past does not define you. His redemption defines you. Now we come to the heart of this verse. I have called you by my name. Or by name. In the ancient world, to know someone's name was to be very intimate with them. To know them. Right? You know their character. Their story. A name was not just a label. It was an actual identity. And to call someone by name was a profound act of intimacy. It meant, I know who you are. I know who you are. Not who you pretend to be. I'm sure none of you have pretend who you are sometimes. But if you did, He's like, I know who you really are. I know you. God does not say, I have called you broadly, generically, to the crowd. He says, I have called you by name. He's not addressing a nation here. He's addressing you individually, personally. In John 10, Jesus says of the Good Shepherd, He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls them by name, not by number, by name. And I think of Jesus' baptism in Matthew 3. When Jesus came up from the water, the Father spoke. He did not say, this is my Son. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The personal pronoun changes everything. Not a son, my son. Every person who has been baptized in Christ has been baptized into that exact same declaration. Have you ever thought about that? You are His child. You're not a child. You're not a daughter or a son. You're His son, His daughter. It's personal, guys. Whether you came out of those waters this morning or decades ago, God was speaking over you the exact same way. Not as a category, but as His. His. God has been speaking your name longer than your parent has. Just a few chapters later in Isaiah 49, we read, the Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He named my name. Take a moment and let that sink in. Before you arrived, before you made a single choice, guys, before you succeeded or failed at anything, He named you. He knew you. In baptism, God does not give you a new label. He reveals the name He has always had for you. Now look at the end of verse 1. It ends with one of the most decisive words of all. You are mine. You are mine. Not, you could be mine if you keep, you know, trying and doing the right things. No, that's not what he's saying here. Not, you were mine before you messed up, which a lot of us struggle with, right? I mean, we struggle, am I worthy? I think I'm saved. Am I worthy? Did I mess up so much that I'm no longer, you know, God's child? You are mine. I am His. If you're a follower of Christ this morning, I want you to repeat these three words with me. I am His. All right? I am His. Guys, let that sink in. It's not Mike is His, or Mark is His, or Kristen is His. I am His. You're His possession. You're His creation. You're His love. Present tense. Unconditional. Permanent. It's not a declaration that you have it all together, guys. That's not what this is. It's a declaration that you belong to God. That He has placed His flag in the soil of your life and said, this one is mine. This one is mine. You are His. Remember what Paul wrote to the Galatians. For in Christ Jesus you are all Son of God. Through faith, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have put on Christ. In baptism, we declare publicly that we have been clothed with Christ. That's the declaration. We are announcing to the world the identity that we have already received through faith. Think of it this way. When a child is adopted, there's a moment in that courtroom when a judge signs a document and everything becomes permanent. The child's name changes. The child's inheritance changes. And no future failure can undo what was declared in that courtroom on that day. The moment you placed your faith in Christ, that was the courtroom. God was the judge. The verdict was justification, forgiveness, adoption, righteousness credited to your account. Not earned, credited, given freely. The papers were signed. And nothing, not your past, not your failures, not your doubts, can undo it. Nothing. Baptism is not the courtroom. Baptism is walking out the front door of the courtroom and declaring in front of everyone, I know whose I am. The verdict has been declared, and I am not ashamed of it. Let me wrap it all up this morning. Four phrases. Four declarations. And together, they form one of the most complete sentences of grace that I know. Do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. To those that have given their lives to Christ and were baptized this morning, the water has dried now. They're dry. You've changed your clothes. Maybe you're a little warmer, though the water was warm. But what God declared over you will not change. Not one word of it. And to those of you who are followers of Christ and were baptized a year ago, 10 years ago, longer than you care to admit ago, hear this. The passing of years does not diminish what God said. It's still true today. It was true when you woke up this morning. It will be true when you lay your head down tonight. Martin Luther, whenever he was overcome with doubt or despair, was known to take his finger and write in the air, Baptizatus sum, Baptizatus sum. I have been baptized. It's a reminder to himself, not as a magic word, but a declaration of fact, a tether back to the moment where God spoke, where he had given his life to Christ, not as a distant event, but as a living word. A word God is still speaking over you right now, this very moment. And for all of you who witnessed the baptisms this morning, whether you were baptized this morning or years ago, what we saw was not simply a ceremony. Understand that. It was not simply a tradition. It was not just a milestone to be filmed or photographed. It was God keeping his word. Again, it is God looking at one more beloved, broken, repentant, hopeful human being and saying the same thing he has always said. Do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Let's pray. Father God, thank you this morning for just the blessing of the baptisms, Lord. The opportunity to see a public declaration of faith, Lord. Lord, we know that before the baptisms, each of these individuals had already accepted you as Lord and Savior, Father. And I'm so thankful for that, Lord. I love the fact that we can call them brother and sister in Christ. Father, I pray that as we go through this week, you would give us opportunities to share the gospel. Opportunities to love on the those that seem unlovable. Those that may even act like they do not want to be loved. Father God, we know that deep inside we all want to be loved, Lord. And so, Father, I pray, if given the opportunity, that we would love. Lord, that we would share your word. That we would pray. That we would spend time talking with these individuals, Lord. Father God, I know our lives are busy, but Father, I pray you would just slow us down. Remind us of who we are, what our purpose is here, Father, what you've commanded us to do, Lord. And Father, let us walk faithfully in each of those. Father, I thank you for each person that's here this morning, whether someone who shows up regularly or someone that's a guest, Lord. It's such a blessing to worship with each person that desires to worship your name, to raise their voice to you, the one and only that deserves our praise, our worship, deserves the glory. And so, Father, we love you. And we thank you, Father, that you love us and you loved us first. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.